In the name of the true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, friends, this is the day of all days in our calendar. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that gives meaning and hope and joy to the world. And with that, I should sit down and be done with my sermon. In the four Gospels that we have, we don't see people running very often. But when we get to the empty tomb, it seems like everyone is sprinting around breathlessly. And the beloved disciple, the one who outran Peter to the tomb, well, when he looks in at the linen wrappings in the empty tomb, he sees and believes. He's not yet encountered the risen Christ, but this beloved disciple, the one who reclined on the heart of Jesus just days before at the Last Supper, the beloved disciple who goes unnamed by John, I think, so that we might imagine ourselves in that role as the beloved disciple. Well, he's convinced by seeing those wrappings that the hideous act of the crucifixion and the finality of the tomb couldn't put an end to the power of God. That energy and source that calls all life into being. This beloved disciple knew that this crucifixion, this death, could not put an end to that same powerful energy and life force that was beating from the sacred heart of Jesus every moment of his life. That beloved disciple had heard it, beating. Friends, we make a wild and bold claim in the church. Death does not have final power over Jesus. He's absorbed evil. He's absorbed all the worst that we can do to each other, and he's trampled down death under his bleeding feet. This outstretched love that Jesus showed throughout his entire life, this passionate love that he showed at his death, it's revealed to us today to be the most durable element in the universe. I didn't make it up. We didn't make it up. The story's been handed on to us. Like Paul said in our reading from 1 Corinthians, I hand on to you what's been delivered to me. I have a wildly uncreative role to play, to pass on something that's been handed to us, that this one who's been crucified has trampled down death by death, and he lives. A Jewish man of the first century who was so perfectly transparent to the energy of God that nails and a cross, a suffocating death and a tomb, it could not keep him down. That's the story entrusted to Jesus's body, the church. The story through which we come to see and believe. The story by which we can become the beloved disciple as that energy is poured into our hearts. Friends, here is God with us in human flesh, sharing life and joy, sharing our suffering and death, and rising from the grave, opening a door to a divine connection that can never be taken away. This Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, the Bread of Life, the one who is the way and the truth and the life, he takes us by the hand today and promises to never let go. We belong to him, and he belongs to God. Today makes this relationship possible, this new bond of love with God and with one another. It's a new way of life that's on offer for all. It's why Jesus says to Mary Magdalene, the first person to see the resurrected Jesus, go to my friends and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father. To my God and to your God. Jesus is creating a new family, a new human family knit together by his way of love. Perhaps you've seen the great icon of the resurrection in the Eastern Church. It shows Jesus standing over the gates of hell, and with his two hands, he's pulling up Adam and Eve from the underworld, our first parents. And that icon is showing that what he's doing is knitting us back together, knitting our lives together, this family of God, and that he'll never let go. And life of faith is to see and believe in this outstretched love. It's to come to know it with the eyes of our heart. So our habits in church of prayer, of celebrating the Holy Eucharist, of Bible study in small groups, other spiritual practices, they're all meant to keep us connected to that divine power and energy, that action of God which we celebrate today. So we organize our life together around worship of this living God, pray that we might grow in wisdom, that we might welcome everyone who comes here into the family of God, so that all might come to know the joy and the hope of this gospel of love. We serve our siblings who are in need of food and clothing and care, following Jesus's commandment that we love one another as he loves us. I often like to remind us that we don't do that just because we're nice, because we're not all that nice all the time. We do it because we listen to Jesus. We listen to him. And hopefully by his grace, we're becoming nice too. But right, we listen to his voice and we take care of one another. We listen to his voice of forgiveness and we learn to forgive one another. We learn to live by new patterns, these patterns of a new creation that Jesus's life, death, and resurrection open up to us. Did you catch it that Mary Magdalene, the first to see the resurrected Jesus while it was still dark outside the tomb, that she's in a garden, and she mistakes the resurrected Jesus for who? Who does she the gardener, you passed the test. She mistakes Jesus as the gardener. Even if she can't yet make out who he is, this resurrected one, she is right. He's the gardener. It's exactly what he is, the gardener of this new creation, a renewed creation where humans know that they are part of the family of God, that God knows their name. Mary, Jesus says. This launches a new creation that's full of joy, full of possibility, where we're connected to God and to one another. And friends, this Easter day, it's not the end of the story. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of a new creation, and you can stake your life on it because Christ will never let go. That's the promise. He will hold you in all your frailty. He will hold you in all your glory. And you look pretty glorious today. Jesus holds us until our life's end, when we will see him face to face as his beloved disciple and believe. For Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.